our midscreen during the holiest of all seasons, Holy Week. And you're at The Next Step, episode number 407. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between Palm Sunday and Easter, between the Ten Maidens and the outliers of the Armenian Church. And I'm inviting you to take the walk with me, The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, happy Holy Week to you. Happy Great Thursday, Maundy Thursday, Holy Thursday, very special Thursday today. It is in between, of course, Palm Sunday and Easter. It is the remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ's passion, his Last Supper, his betrayal, his being led to the high priest, to Pilate, and ultimately ending in his crucifixion. And if we ended it there, well, we wouldn't have a podcast today, would we, right? It doesn't end there. And of course, we know what happens on Easter Sunday. And this podcast today, we'll be talking a little bit about each of those services in between. We'll be talking about quite more, too. By the way, Sunday morning, we will be broadcasting on Periscope. So this will be the first time that we'll be able to be live together. I know you've watched in the past and listened in the past as we've broadcast our Easter services. This time, I guess Periscope gives us a few other little nice amenities besides just watching and listening. So anyway, we'll talk about that towards the end of today's show. We have a little special tribute to a passing, an archbishop who passed away last week, Archbishop Yerishe. I've got a lot more, but I want to start off with a prayer today. This morning, we celebrated the Divine Liturgy. And in the Armenian Church, we do this in the morning to remind us of the Last Supper. And then preparation in the next few hours, we're preparing our churches for services called the washing of the feet. Many of the traditional churches have this service here in Glendale. I go by the book. The book says, wash the feet of the entire congregation. I know in some other places they do 12 kids, 12 nice kids. But actually the book, the prayer book in the Armenian Church called the Avak Shapat says that the priest will kneel down and wash the feet of the congregation one by one from the oldest to the youngest. Yeah, that's right in the book. And I know some of the hardliners always come down on me. You know, you're supposed to only do 12 feet. Well, you know why Jesus did 12 feet? Because that's all the feet that were there. Right? John chapter 13. In the upper room, following dinner, he took off his robe and he knelt down and he washed the feet of the disciples. And he washed 12 feet, 12 pairs of feet. Right? That's how many people were in the room. And so accordingly, the priest is ordered in this Avak Shapat book to kneel down and wash the feet of the people, everyone who's in the room. So this morning we had the commemoration of the Last Supper, the institution. And I just want to share with you this prayer. We'll be coming to the feet washing in a few minutes. We'll return. We'll visit it again. But this prayer is recited silently. Recited silently. Is that possible? Well, it is. Because there is a voice that recites inside the heart of the priest. And today it resonated even more because the Divine Liturgy begins at the holy altar on this Thursday rather than in the vestry. So the priest goes through these prayers at the holy altar, and I just want to share it with you. O Christ Jesus, our Lord, who are clothed with light as with a garment, you did appear upon earth in unspeakable humility and did walk with men. You have become eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek and have adorned your holy church. O Lord Almighty, who has granted us to put on the same heavenly garment, make me, your unprofitable servant, also worthy at this hour when I make bold to approach the same spiritual service of your glory, so that I may divest myself of all ungodliness, which is a garment of defilement, and that I may be adorned with your light. Cast away my wickedness from me. Shake me out of my transgressions, that I may be made worthy of the light prepared by you in the world to come. Grant me to enter with priestly glory upon the ministry of your holy things, together with those who have kept your commandments innocently, so that I also may be found prepared for the heavenly nuptial chamber with the wise virgins to glorify you, O Christ, who did bear the sins of all. For you are the holiness of our souls, and unto you, O beneficent God, befits glory, dominion, and honor, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. This is a very beautiful, beautiful prayer, as you could see, as you listen to it. I hope you went to the places and could imagine where I went, especially this portion here. May I divest myself of all ungodliness, which is the garment of defilement. So you see that the priest is putting on his new garments, and you have to make room for those garments, right? So you have to divest of the ungodliness, the defilement. And what happens there? So that I may be adorned with your light. Cast away my wickedness from me and shake me out of my transgressions, that I may be made worthy of your light prepared for you by you in the world to come. I mean, it's just such beautiful, beautiful words strung together that make up this prayer. And if you heard it in Armenian, I prayed it in Armenian this morning. I mean, there's something to be said about the language too. I know. We need to understand, but there is something to be said about this language that really is a language of the angels. During this past week, as we've been celebrating the different Holy Week services, and especially on Palm Sunday, wow, incredible. First of all, we start off Holy Week with the remembrance of Lazarus. Comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And on Holy Saturday, it's the remembrance of Lazarus's resurrection. And something really beautiful happened Saturday morning. A couple of my ladies at the church had come up to me last week and said, you know, the curtain has shrunk. Yes, I know it has shrunk, but it's kind of awkward because people see our feet underneath the curtain. So these ladies asked, can we lengthen it? I said, well, what's involved in that? Well, we need to take the hem off of the curtain. And it's about an hour, 2 hour job. And I said, okay, but just a reminder that this Saturday we do have a baptism. And before that, I wanted to do the service of Lazarus and open the curtains. And they said, oh, no, no problem. So listen to this. Saturday morning, I get to church, and it's one of those moments that as a priest, you just cherish. And I'll always remember this. There's a few moments in my life that I always remember, and this is one of them. It was very, very serene inside the church. It was just beautiful. And there were these three women. They were sitting at the foot of the altar on the floor with needle and thread in their hands, scissors, I guess, and they're working on the curtain. And each of them were in one area of that of the span of the curtain. So I approached, and they were almost in a daze. They were just singing and sewing, praying and sewing. And the atmosphere was very mystical. I was even thinking it almost looked like there was some fog mist in the room. Maybe that's where the mystical, I don't know if there's any connection. I know one's a Y, one's an S. But anyway, it was a very mystical moment at that, walking into that church. And I didn't make any noise, stood from a distance, took a little picture as a reminder of what was going on over there. And a reminder of this is what really church should be. It should be a sanctuary. It should be a place where you can go and forget about everything that's outside. Not so much just because as an escape, but as a means of refueling, re-energizing. And I did that morning. So that morning we had the women doing this chore. I don't want to call it a chore, but this lengthening of the curtain. And got to be around 11 o'clock. We were getting ready for the baptism. And one of the ladies came up to me and asked if I would say a prayer for her grandson, 5-year-old little kid. And I said, of course. And the kid was there. So instead of just frightening the kid to death that some priest in black robes are going to come up and say a prayer for you, I gave the kid a candle and I said, come here, you're going to pull the curtain with me. And so what we did is we read, of course, the gospel passage of Lazarus's resurrection. We sang one of the hymns, and then together with this small little kid, we pulled the curtain open. And it was just so beautiful. It was a reminder of what church needs to be, how simple things really need to be, and how simple things can be. We're the ones who make it so complex. And so in this prayer that I read this morning, you, Christ, you are adorned, you are vested. Listen to the words of the prayer. O Christ, our Lord, who are clothed with light as with a garment, you did appear upon earth with unspeakable humility. I mean, think about it. Now we come into the churches and we wear all these bright vestments and everything like that. Here, the leader of the church was vested and was adorned with what? The ultimate vestment, which was light. That light is that purity. That light is that love. That light is what shines. Yeah, we put on all these things because, of course, we aren't that light. But you need to be that light. Jesus Christ is the one who says, you are the light of the world. And he points to us. There is a potential there, right? And so as I read this prayer this morning, I just thought to myself, like, here we go through the entire Holy Week. We had the raising of Lazarus, and we made it very simple. A little kid was blessed, as all of us were blessed, as that little kid moved the curtain open. After 40 days of being covered, we opened the curtain and we saw the glory there. Now the next day, of course, Palm Sunday, we had all kinds of pandemonium because when Palm Sunday happens, wow, everybody comes out and the branches and everything. So we went and we did a walk around the church, actually on the streets of Glendale with full vestments and with all kinds of palm branches, olive branches, swaying, singing. And we entered into the church and did the order of Turang Patsek. Now, Turang Patsek is really, it's an interesting little service of the Armenian church. It's almost like a small little soap opera that takes place, begging to open up the door with Christ saying, wait, why should I open up for you? And really understanding the purpose of the church as being this sanctuary where our souls can find rest, where each and every one of us can find the fulfillment of the kingdom of God here on earth. Yes. And so when you read these things, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to justify it with the reality of what church is all about. With all the dinners and dances and with all the flyers and the council meetings and all the extra, I know I'm going to say it again, okay? Hoopla that we've associated with what church should be. It's a very simple thing. Should be the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So we had the Palm Sunday service. And on Tuesday, it is the office of the Ten Maidens. And this is right in the playbook. One of the senior priests asked me, oh, is this like a service you do on Easter Eve where you write it? No, it isn't. But, you know, I come to understand why they ask that. They think that because I am an American-born priest, I'm going to do things that are non-traditional. No, I'm more traditional than people give me credit for. We go by the playbook, and the playbook says, do the office of the Ten Maidens. So we did it. Now the kids came up, and we try to emphasize that little girls should come on that day and be part of it. And every so often we'll get a few boys. Now, the reason why I'm talking about gender, because the office of the maidens is really called the office of the ten virgins. And several years ago, I opted for this different translation of the scriptures. The actual scriptural passage for that day comes from a parable that Jesus speaks, and it is recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 25. Check it out, okay? In it, Jesus talks about the ten virgins. Five of them were wise, five of them were stupid. Basically, they forgot to bring the lights. They were dumb. And he makes the point that you always have to be prepared. And it's in reference to a wedding party. Now, that day, I have to tell you that during Lent, I've been really excited because this year I didn't do a Lenten journey for a variety of reasons, partially because of health reasons and circumstances and just being able to get in front of a microphone physically. And so those of you who know, I had some arm surgery. And anyway, long story short, I didn't do it. One of our parishioners, she started posting the earlier Lenten journeys on our Facebook page. All of a sudden, there's like a new group of people following it and listening. And so I said, what's all the excitement about? And I went out there and I listened. Hey, this is pretty good stuff. It was recorded, I think, back in 2010. So it's about 6 years old. And I'm listening to it. Every so often, I'll open up one. But I did open up the one for Holy Tuesday. Here's Father Voskin 6 years ago talking about the 10 virgins and explaining that these archaic terms like virgin need to be changed so that we understand. Namely, he makes an argument for relevance. Yes. And he talks about the 10 priests, the 10 priests who were waiting for their bishop to come. And five of them were stupid, would himar, and five of them were smart. And it just hit me that, yes, that quest for relevance cannot be forgotten. We need to be talking about that constantly. Because this church that we have, if it's going to be the kingdom of heaven on earth, it has to make sense to people on earth. It cannot be pie in the sky. It cannot be irrelevant. And so that day we had the office of the Ten Maidens. We had four priests that came. There's pictures up on Facebook. You could see cute little girls. But here's what happened that night. That night I get home and I checked out, you know, the usual news. I usually scan a few different sites and there it was. Holy Etchmiadzin, the center of the Armenian Church, was commemorating the office of the Ten Virgins. And they did it with 10 boys that they got from the seminary. And it occurred to me, yes, we're actually being pretty sexist, gender specific, right? Making the girls the virgins. I mean, yes, the boys can be virgins too. Yes, they can be, but that's not the point of the story. And that's where we had opted for the word maiden, because they are waiting for the bridegroom to come. The boys aren't waiting. No, it's the girls that were waiting. It is the Feast of the Ten Maidens. Etchmiadzin has changed this, and they've got the ten virgins, and they've got the ten little boys that come up with the candles, and the priest goes up and he extinguishes five of them, making them the I don't want to say stupid, because that is such a hard word. And the other day I was talking with Father Dajad at the church, and he used the word those who were sleeping, unawake, the ones that are the smart ones, let's call them the wakeful maidens, and those who are not with those lights, let's call those ones that were sleeping. It's nicer than stupid ones. But Jesus says, okay, these were the ones that were not smart. Those maidens were not prepared. But here's the point, that Etchmiadzin took the liberty of going ahead and setting up 10 young boys. And rightly so. Beautiful. But what happens is all of a sudden one more opportunity where we can allow children to participate, and we're sectioning it off. We're closing it off. Here we have this small little service that very few people will even know about, let alone celebrate. We have an opportunity to bring young girls in there and make them part of the action. But instead, here we go, we're drawing the lines again. And that should start bothering people. This is where, and you know what bothers me? Is that I get so many people who come to me and talk to me about, what about women in the church? Well, it has to begin someplace. Are you willing to go out on a limb for the small ones, for the little instructions that happen, the little things that take place? And so we get to today. Today we celebrated the Divine Liturgy, the institution of the Last Supper, and this evening, in a few hours, our church will be converted into a beautiful, beautiful sanctuary where people will be able to come in and out and participate in the Passion of our Lord, beginning with the washing of the feet service. And we'll be washing the feet of the congregation, after which we begin the Order of Darkness. During the Order of Darkness, we remember seven different gospel readings. We read them. And with each one, we extinguish some of the lights, the candles as well as the main electricity lights. They all go down till the point that we are standing in darkness. So all of a sudden, the last reading is read. Jesus has been betrayed. He's been condemned to crucifixion. He breathes his last up on the cross, and then we are completely in darkness, giving us an opportunity to know what life is like without the light of Christ, without Christ being there. And you see how emotional I got this morning, because what was the vestment of Christ? As I read this prayer this morning, what is the vestment that he is wearing if not that light? And that light, we extinguished it. Remember what the Gospel of John says, the evangelist John says, he was the light of the world. He came to his people, but his people did not want him. The people did not understand that light. They didn't want it. Last night we saw The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, I believe from 2005. If you haven't seen it, you need a very strong stomach for it. Let me tell you that. It is something else. But it will take your breath away. But you understand what the passion is about. Because a lot of times we talk about Jesus was tortured and crucified. Who understands that torture and crucifixion? And in a sense, by watching this film, you get an idea. The filmmaker brought that to the screen. That's what the torture was about. That's what the betrayal was about. That's what the humiliation was about. The Son of God. The same hands that took the earth and created humankind. That humankind was now throwing earth back at him, spitting on him, says Nerses Shnor Ali. He juxtaposes these ideas, Shnor Ali's beautiful Aysor Anjar. Ah, it is just so beautifully written because it puts them together. The same hands that took that earth and created man, that man was now sticking nails through those hands. The same face that is being protected by the angels was being spit upon by these people. And here's the catcher of it all. These people, not the Jews, not the Romans, but people. Now, if you can understand that, you're in the camp of Armodoxy. It's not a story about 2,000 years ago, but it's about us. And that's where we'll take our break right now. We're going to take a break and listen to the song of the day. I've picked out a beautiful song about Easter. It is about Easter resurrection, done so beautifully, Aysor Haryav. And it is done by Salpi Kelesyan and Vuruid Demirjan. I wanted to share it with you because I love just the upbeat tempo on it. Well, you'll get it, okay? Anyway, the song of the day, Aysor Haryav.
Oh,
when we say Christ has resurrected, you got to be excited about it, right? And I hope you felt that excitement. I did. It was beautiful. That is off of Le Savoir Gigantesque. I will definitely have a link on today's show notes about that song. There's some really good music that I discovered. The artist singing that song, I should say him, actually, I saw it already up, Salpi Kelesian and Vurvir Demirjan. And all the information will be at the link. Do check them out. Check out all of their wonderful music. And as I always say, always support the people that we play on the next step. It's one other way of showing our love for this music by supporting.
Morning has broken. Like the first morning, blackbird has spoken. Like the first bird, praise for the.
It's always important to remember that Christianity is not just something that remains in history. And it's very easy to do because there is a natural history that goes with the person of Jesus, that goes with the institution of the church. It has a history that is on a continuum of time. And if I could just digress for a second, if you're technologically inclined, just think about it in terms of this. Think about the difference between an audio cassette as opposed to a CD. With an audio cassette, let's say you wanted to listen to a particular song, you would have to fast forward or rewind to that point on a continuous thread, like through time. In other words, it's at a specific point on that tape, and you would have to get to that point on that tape. Whereas with digital media, whether it's on your phone, on your MP3 player, on your CD player, you basically say, this is the song that I want. And that point is accessed immediately. Now, that's why it's so fast. So you say, I want song number 3, and right there. You don't need to rewind. You don't need to fast forward. It's right there. And so the digital age has given us this random access memory. RAM, that's what it's about. RAM, that's what RAM is, right? Now, song number 3. It's on that CD or it's on your MP3 player, it's on your phone, wherever it may be. Song number 3 is there. You press the button. Number 3, you get it. Now, song number 1 and 2 are also there. Song number 4 through 13 are there. But what you want is song number 3. Now think about your faith, think about you being a Christian and the idea of Armadoxy, way ahead of its game, right? Before there was RAM, before there was the digital revolution, there was Armadoxy. Yeah. Random access. What it means is this. It means that you are a Christian in 2016. It's like pressing the button for 2016 and you are there. It doesn't mean that second century is not there. It's there. But you're accessing today. And we need to feel comfortable with accessing ourselves within the context of Christianity. Because all too often when we think of ourselves or when we think of Christianity, we think of the analog model. We think of it in terms of that tape. Okay, do I want to know what Jesus did? Okay, then rewind back to first century. Do I want to know what St. Gregory the Illuminator said? Rewind to 301. Vartanans, 451. Armenian Genocide, 1915. Okay, so there's this continuum of time. And we place ourselves on that continuum. And rather than do that, think of yourselves as just one more button. With equal rights. Yeah, that's an important one. That's, in fact, one of the reasons why Jesus was so hated by the establishment. He gave equal rights to everyone. Yeah, he did. He said, it doesn't matter who you are, what your class is. You have an opportunity to engage and inherit the kingdom of God. And today, you are a Christian in 2016. That's your button. You need to be able to press that button and know that you are a valid representative of the Christian experience, so long as you have you have what it takes, which is love. That's it. By this they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another, says Jesus. Okay, that's it. Now, we've complicated it. Part of the hoopla is that analog representation, that you need to bring in all of this stuff too. I saw some I don't need to go through it. I saw some stuff this week that just blew my mind. People that you would never expect it, going with the hardline ideas. And it's basically to the exclusion of many others. And you can't do that. Christianity is not an exclusionist or exclusionary religion. Quite the opposite. Christianity is about making the kingdom accessible to everyone. And that's done as simply as us understanding it as such. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little trip back, because we're going to press another button, okay? We're going to press not so far back as the first century. Let's go back about 50 years. And we're going to be looking at the life of a very special servant of God. His name, Archbishop Yericher, who was born with very humble beginnings and served as one of the larger personalities in the Armenian Church, not because of an exceptional brilliance or anything exceptional beyond his humility. A true humble servant of the Church. He served in the United States as well as in the United Kingdom. Last week, following his passing, the Eastern Diocese had placed a nice video about the Archbishop, recorded back in 2012. And I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. Do check out that video. It says a lot about this servant of God. But also, we have a little special present for you, Next Step listeners. Our dear friend Dr. Harry Hagopian has given us permission to share this blog with you, the listeners. It is called The Wind Beneath Our Wings, Remembering Archbishop Yericher Sarpazan. Just beautifully written. It's more personal than I will ever be able to do. And as I read it, I asked Dr. Hagopian if it'd be okay. And sure enough, true to form, he said okay. So I'd like to share this with you. This was written March 23rd, just a couple days ago. We learned with heavy hearts last week that Yericher Sarpazan, primate of the Armenian Orthodox Church in the UK from 1982 till his retirement in 2000, has passed away in New York. As often happens in such instances, many images of this man and his ministry over 9 decades flashed through my mind's eye. They were not inflated image, nor concocted ones even, but rather small and cherished moments that are a personal witness to this man of the cloth. The words that came immediately to mind were these: may the angels lead you into paradise, may the martyrs receive you at your coming and lead you into the holy city Jerusalem, may the choir of angels receive you, and with Lazarus, who once was poor, may you have everlasting rest. Now, what I'll do is I'll put a link on today's show notes so you could read this entire blog in it. You can read it in its entirety. But for right now, just a couple excerpts that I found. Most of it is there's some personal reflections, some personalities in there. I really invite you to go out there and read this. But let me share with you a couple portions of this as well. Yericher Sarpazan also had a remarkable memory that narrated so many old stories, from the Armenian Genocide 1915 to his own experiences at the Holy See of Echmiadzin in Armenia and later in the UK. One of Sarpazan's strength was his pastoral demeanor. The man hated all sorts of Armenian community ructions and simply, naively some would say, wanted to avoid being sucked into their vortex. How could he, though, when he was the primate of the church? After all, is this not a challenge for many church leaders, too? He often discussed with me that he had enough of all of these shenanigans, but this was also coupled with a sense of humor that chortled its way across any room. It was almost him saying that you don't only create a new army, Armenia, every time two Armenians meet anywhere in the world, my paraphrase of William Saroyan, but that you also get an argument between them. And so with that, Dr. Hagopian continues with some personal reflections, but let me conclude with his concluding words. Eschatology is quite an intricate theological discipline that deals with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul and of humankind. It is beyond the remit of this reflection to wade into those waters and share some of his thoughts on life, death, and afterlife. So as I sit to write this short and personal reflection to Armenian and non-Armenians through Ecclesia, that's his blog, I put in front of me the alarm clock he had given me as a memento before he left for Philadelphia, and the one I still use by my bedside as it pings BBC Radio 4 today every morning for me. Why will the Sırbazan be missed by so many friends, if for nothing else than because he was a humble man who won you over with his rather intricate simplicity? It is not always the case with our clerics. R.I.P., R.I.G., I too pray for the repose of his soul. Beautifully said, beautifully written. I do invite you to read the entire blog. There will be a link on today's show notes. And again, thank you, Dr. Hagopian, for the opportunity to share this with our listeners. I do so because in Yerisha Sırbazan, in any of this older generation of clergy, you find really some remarkable people, not in the sense that they were just old. You know, it's like anybody can be old, right? If you're lucky enough, you get to be old. But to be born in that generation. If you're familiar with Outliers, it's a fascinating study, a book about certain times that have been conducive, let's say, to certain people propelling and getting farther ahead than others, that there have been conditions. There are certain conditions in the life of that person. I would venture to say that if we could extend it to the Armenian Church, outliers in the Armenian Church, we had a period of time that was right after the Armenian genocide that gave us a generation of clergy that has been unseen and unfortunately don't exist today in the Armenian Church. I'm talking about like the greats. These would be people born right around the genocide, so they would reach seminary age around the mid-30s and would really become very productive in their ministry in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. I'm talking about people like the big ones, Diran Sırbazan or Yerisha Sırbazan Derderian, later the Patriarch of Jerusalem, Şenork Sırbazan, who later became the Patriarch in Istanbul. Of course, Vazgen Katholikos would be in there too. But of course, some of the heavyweights that were even a few years earlier than that, Kushagian or Kevork Katholikos, Karekin Hovsepians. I mean, incredible peoples. These were people that really shaped the way the Armenian Church went beyond keeping their doors open, shaped the complexion of the Armenian Church in the aftermath of such a large tragedy as genocide. And these were productive people, people that were writing intellectual copy, that were providing really substance and spirituality to our people. Beyond just the people that kept the doors open, they actually created an opportunity for us to rise from the ashes, the phoenix, so to speak. They were the phoenix generation. And Yerisha Sırbazan, may he rest in peace, was part of that generation in a different way. He brought humility to the stage. And it goes on with what we were talking about today in today's podcast, Jesus being dressed in the garment of salvation, in that vestment of light. It's the ultimate vestment that we need to dress in. And it is few clerics, few clergymen that really understand that and get to that point of really understanding the barefooted carpenter that we follow is demanding not those vestments of ornate fabrics, of ornate and jewels, but the vestment of light and humility. May he rest in peace. May God rest his soul.
Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
I think I got some ideas going now in the back of my head as I was rattling off a few of those names. There are so many others. I think we're ready for the Armenian Church outliers, right? Terenik Sirpazan back then, Revon Sirpazan. There's so many of them. Anyway, before we get ahead of the game, let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back to share with you what we're doing for Easter, some fun stuff that you can plug into. Here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you to so many of you who are participating in the Next Step Epostle in this ministry, in the expanding ministry of In His Shoes. I want to let you know that this Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we will be broadcasting on Periscope. And all you need to do is get the app on your device. I believe it's easier if you have the app. There is another link that will give you something. I'm not sure what it is, but if you've got the app, it's so much easier. Periscope. And all you need to do is follow In His Shoes. It's at In His Shoes. And if you follow it, we'll be on. 8 o'clock Pacific time. We're here in California, so Pacific time. I know a lot of you already, Easter would have passed, or it might be Easter Eve when you're, Easter night, I should say, when you're watching it. But one way or another, we're going to be sharing this beautiful message of resurrection together. It is the Divine Liturgy celebrated in the English language with Armenian hymns, and I invite you to participate. That's Periscope, and remember to follow at In His Shoes. How easy can it be? You know, when I think about all the years that we've been doing these broadcasts, all the different ways we've gone about, and to the point where we've actually pulled our hair out sometimes, it's been so difficult. And my head goes to the original first Epostle broadcast that was done in 2000. It was with a grant by Japonica Partners, and we actually streamed the Divine Liturgy, Easter morning Divine Liturgy, on the internet at that time, while it was in its infancy stage. All we got to do at that time was run a audio of the Divine Liturgy with couplers. There's a word for you. Some of you from the old times remember. This was the old time modems where you actually put the phone, the receiver, you would put it on a coupler that would make it into a digital device that would send out the digital signals. Yes, back in 2000, we did the first broadcast, and if I can, I know it's somewhere on the internet, the archive of that. You can listen into it if you feel like it, but do join us. Now it's very, very easy. Just get Periscope on your device, and you'll be able to join us. And of course, if you are in Glendale, do join us in the flesh, in person. Come and join us. It's a beautiful, beautiful celebration. Something a little bit different. Something bringing relevancy to a very beautiful and ancient tradition. I'm going to end with that, wishing you all the best. We're still in the middle of Holy Week. We have the beautiful service of darkness this evening. It is a reminder of what life is like without Christ. Tomorrow we have the burial service, and then of course Saturday evening we have the Easter Eve service, Sunday morning Easter. All of this pointing to this incredible event that happened once in history. Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Despite what happened on Good Friday, despite the crucifixion, the torture that he went through, despite those nails going through his hands, despite the humiliating death that he suffered on a cross, he was victorious over the cross. The empty tomb, Sunday morning, that's what we celebrate, Easter. And whatever way you celebrate, if you do it with little chickies, remember those chickies come out of little eggs. Look at those eggs, crack those eggs, and remember that's the tomb breaking. And inside of that tomb is life. That's what we celebrate. If you celebrate with bunny rabbits, remember that it is about fertility. It is about new life beginning. And the one that I don't understand is when you have bunny rabbits and Easter eggs together. These bunny rabbits are mammals. They have live births, not eggs, but I'll let you contemplate that for right now. We are ready to finish today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, wishing you a most blessed and sacred Easter. Christos Hariav Imenelots. Christ has risen from the dead. Forward to joining with you again next week as we take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out.